This week's parsha is Vayikra. I'm not going to choose a mitzvah from this week's parsha to talk about Tamei HaMitzvos, because there is certainly a lot to learn about Korbanos, and there's certainly a lot of important messages about Avodas Hashem and davening, but I think that it might be more difficult. So we're going to cheat a little bit, and we're going to talk about Pesach. We're going to talk about the mitzvah of Pesach, and I think we all associate perhaps the most important mitzvah of Pesach with the eating of matzah. So we're going to talk tonight about the tam, the reason for matzah and Pesach, and I hold everyone here with enough regard that we're going to try something a little bit above, a little bit that requires a little bit of a reach, something a little bit more, a higher type of learning, and we'll explain what it is in a moment in the sefer in front of you. But I think we all have, you know, prior understanding about what matzah is supposed to be. We all know the medrash that it baked on the back, so they left Mitzrayim and they didn't have time to make the bread. And that's all very nice and good. But what does that tell us ourselves when we're eating matzah this year on Pesach Tavshin Pei Gimel? What does the matzah, you know, do for me? What is it supposed to change me? What am I supposed to think about? How is it supposed to enhance my life and make me into a better Jew and a better Eved Hashem? So we can talk about what matzah represents, and simplicity, and it's not chametz. Chametz is, you know, haughty, and it's blown up, and there's, you know, it has a lot of volume to it, and speaks about gaiva, and matzah is humble, and it's only has bread, and only has flour and water, and it talks about our relationship with Hashem. Rav Schwab, in his Mayim Beis HaShoeva, has a very beautiful pshat about how the Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim, they felt that they are free, right? I'm free. I have no more slavery. Potter's not in charge of me. I can do whatever I want. So Hashem made it that the first meal the Jewish people would have was the same meal they had for the last 210 years. Meaning matzah is the food of slaves, because you put it together very quickly. You take flour and water, you mix it, you throw it on a hot stone. It cooks very quickly. You eat it. As we all know, for eating matzah, it's very filling. It saves you for a long, long time inside your stomach. And for that reason, matzah is the food of slaves. So Hashem made it, says Rav Schwab, that the first food that the Jewish people would eat when they were, quote-unquote, free, was going to be slave food. To remind them what? Before, you were of day paro, you're the servants of paro. But now, says Hashem, it's not hefker, you can't do whatever you want. Now you're of day Hashem. You're servants in a different sense than you were before. Before, you're the servants of paro. But now you're the servants of the Melech Malchei Melechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the servants of the greatest king in the world. And therefore that requires a different type of approach. But I want to discuss with you tonight, together, a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch, and also the Sefer you have in front of you is the Derech Mitzvah Secha. The Derech Mitzvah Secha is a collection of thoughts on the reasons for mitzvos that have a mix of Derech of Pshat, of simple explanation, but also a Derech of Nistar, of Kabbalah, from the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek is the third Rebbe of Chabad, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, the grandson of the Baal HaTanya. He has a beautiful book related to mitzvos called the Derech Mitzvah Secha. And again, this is something that's a bit of a higher reach than that we've done in the past, but I think everybody here is capable of appreciating it and relating to it. And we're going to learn together what the Tzemach Tzedek writes here in the Derech Mitzvah Secha, Mitzvah Tes, which is the mitzvah of chametz and matzah. We're not going to talk about chametz now. We're just going to talk about what he focuses on with matzah. So let's begin. Lahavin zek tzas, l'karevel aseichel. In order to understand this in our minds, inyan hamshachas mochin halalu v'ara hamagia lanu aydei zeh. Mochin means one's moach, one's head. That we're going to understand the impact on our seichel, our intellect, of eating matzah. Ki yadua mashakasa bezoar vayetze, which is known what it says in the Zohar in Parshas Vayetze. Sheha matzahi michla de mehemenusa. The matzah is the michla, it is the food of emuna. Mehemenusa means emuna. Matzah is the food of faith. We now need to understand, why is matzah the food of emuna? What about that flat, tasteless cracker is so inspiring for emuna? By the eating of matzah, it strengthens emunah in the heart of the neshamas of the Jewish people. And this is in fact what the Sefer HaChinuch writes when he discusses the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kihu Yesod Gadol V'Amud Chazak B'Sorasenu V'Emunasenu. This is a great pillar, and it is the foundation of our Torah and our faith. The Sefer Chinuch says that matzah is a physical sign that Hashem created and runs the world. Why? That there is a God who is eternal, who desires and whose will can be at any single time, and he can do whatever he wants, and his will comes at any single moment. Hashem changed the world for us. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that we eat matzah, why? To remind us that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and therefore to remind us that Hashem runs the world and can do whatever he wants in any single moment, and he is all-powerful, and he is our God. Now that's very nice that the Sefer HaChinuch says that. But what is it about matzah that does that? There's lots of things we could use to identify that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and controls the world and can do anything in any single moment and bring huge miracles and split seas and Esra Makos and intervene in our life, and Hashem is interested in us. That's all beautiful. But why is it matzah that speaks to this? Again, the Sefer HaChinuch says that eating matzah teaches us amuna because it reminds us of the events of Mitzrayim that Hashem controls nature. But why matzah? Why is matzah the thing that does that? V'im shekasev dvarav eila al pi pashut dahaynu shalidei ha-mitzvah shenasa b'zikaron yitzias Mitzrayim. And he says, if it is that he's writing this mitzvah, pashut, simple, that through the mitzvahs we have a remembrance that we left Egypt, tikba bilva veinu emuna hazos. It establishes in our hearts this emuna. Ki acharei ha-pu'ulos nimshachim ha-levavos. Something you have all heard more than enough times. So you can't really hear enough. The famous is sort of the Sefer HaChinuch, that after one's actions, one's heart follows. If you repeat it enough, and you fake it till you make it, eventually you will have that feeling that you need. V'adam nifal kafi pula, so a man is affected according to his actions. Al-shem ayin sham mitzvah tazayin sherech. But look in the 16th mitzvah of the Sefer HaChinuch, where he explains this as well. So, says the Sefer HaChinuch, says the Tzemach Tzedek, if you eat matzah enough, eventually you'll come to recognize that Hashem is the creator of the world. Mikol makom, nevertheless, kfar hikdamti lecha b'mitzvah smila. I already explained in the explanations of the mitzvah of bris mila, ki oraisa sasim v'galya. The Torah is sasim. What does sasim mean? It's closed, but it's also galya, galui. The other way.
No, revealed.
Revealed. The Torah is hidden and it is revealed. There are two parts, meaning there's a hidden part to the Torah, there's an obvious and a revealed part to the Torah. V'hu ha-kasav anira b'mitzvah zubanigla. So the Sefer HaChinuch is writing about the revealed, simple part of the mitzvah. V'al pi ha-nister hinei b'emes ha-matzeh ish ba-koach l'chazeh l'chazeh kamunu milvan ha-zikarim ka-aladeza inyan ha-gada. Says the Tzemach Tzedek, I want to share with you right now the idea of nister, the secret idea of matzah, the hidden aspect of what matzah does to us. The Sefer HaChinuch was talking about the revealed idea that it's simply a remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but says the Tzemach Tzedek, let's go deeper into what matzah represents. Now, we're not going to learn the next piece. You see how there's three dots there? Mm-hmm. We're not going to learn the next piece inside because it's going to take too long and it's a bit complicated. So let me explain to you what he says outside. The Tzemach Tzedek says that what does it mean to have emunah? What does emunah mean? I think we use it all the time. There's lessons in emunah, and there's stories about emunah, and there's discussions about emunah. But what does the word emunah mean? How do we generally translate emunah?
Belief.
Belief. Faith.
Hashem.
Hashem. Is that it?
That everything that's happening is supposed to happen.
Is that emunah or bitachon?
Bitachon is trust.
Trust.
But yeah.
They're like together.
They do go together. It is true. They do go together. So he says that if emuna is if Hashem is something that's true, so why does it have to be proven? And if it can't be proven, then why would I believe in something that you can't prove? Meaning, what exactly do I have to prove Hashem? Do I not have to prove Hashem? Is it a leap of faith? Is it something that doesn't make any sense, but I do it anyway? How do we relate to all this? So the Tzemach Tzedek says that there's two levels here. The first thing is seichel. Seichel means your intellect. Seichel is seeing Hashem in the creation of the world. It's simply using your brain. The world is a place where you perceive Hashem. You think about the human body and the what goes into DNA and the complications of cells and how the cells interact and how the human eye works and all of the amazing things that allows our body to function to work. A person can say that's not an accident. It's not an accident. There's nothing else in the world that we know. There's nothing in the universe that we know that comes close to the DNA inside a human body. It doesn't exist. That's seichel. That's the mind looking around and saying, I see the Yad Hashem in the world. There's a creator. I don't care if you want to call it Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sha'olam, Eibishter Hashem, or Bab. There's definitely something that's running the world and put everything in motion. It's a place where we perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Deeper than seichel is emunah. Emunah is understanding that there's something much more than we can comprehend. Emunah means that there's something beyond what my mind can perceive. Emunah doesn't just mean that, okay, I know there's a Bar Yolam. I see Hashem in the world. I went to the Grand Canyon. It was beautiful. I saw a thunderstorm. I saw lightning. All these things show me that there's Hashem. That's seichel. That's just using your brain. Emunah is something that there's much more and understanding something beyond me. Emunah means that there's a whole realm. There's a whole belief system. There's a whole show that's going on way beyond what I can comprehend. That there's something in Shemayim, and there's Malachim, and there's Ribono Sha'olam, and there's things way beyond I can perceive. That's Emunah. Where Seichel ends is where Emunah begins. The best mashal I can give you is like telling somebody, I want to show you the Pacific Ocean. So what do? I take a cup of water, and I dip it into the Pacific Ocean, and I show them here. This is the Pacific Ocean. Is it true? Is that the Pacific Ocean? Technically, it is the Pacific Ocean. But do they have any understanding of the vast depth and size of the Pacific Ocean, of the amount of animal life that's there, and the depths of the seas and the power of the ocean? They can't comprehend it. It's the same thing with us. Okay, you took anatomy and you saw cells and it's very beautiful and you see Yad Hashem and that's great. That's seichel. That's me showing you the Pacific Ocean in this cup. Okay, I get it. It's water and there's a lot of it and it's huge. I get it. But Emunah says, no, you don't understand. What you think you perceive and you understand completely, there's something way, way beyond what you can relate to. And that's Emunah. Do you understand the difference here? Does the mashal make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's give an example here, or what he speaks about. One way to view the world is that Hashem is the soul or the force of the world. Hashem is the batteries that run the world. Like a neshama powers a guf, right? We have this physical world, and without Hashem, the physical world can't leave, right? If I take the batteries out, then what? Then everything ceases to exist, right? And this is the level of seichel. But the level of emunah is what we'll call ein od milvado, that there's nothing else besides Hashem. That, lamashal, we understand that the entire world was created of Hashem's divine energy. Ein od milvado means that technically, that everything that we see around us and we perceive is from Hashem's divine energy. It's not that Hashem is separate from the world and then Hashem made the world and he stands back. But rather, everything around us is technically Hashem's divine light. There's nothing else besides Hashem. The phone, the tablecloth, the water, the trees, us, are all creations of Hashem's divine light. Now, if you spend too much time thinking about that, it could make you go nuts. So we're not going to spend too much time thinking about it. And certainly a Jew can never act on that. That's the perspective, that's the idea from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, everything is Hashem, everything is the same. A Jew can't act that way, right? Because if a Jew acts that way, they'll say, well, you know, this Aveira is also Hashem, so that's also holy, right? And this Lashon Hara, well, I'm from Hashem's divine light, and I'm speaking, so everything's Hashem. So when I speak Lashon Hara, it's also Hashem, so that's also holy. No. That's not how things work. We view the world with our seichel, that it has to make sense. But we also understand that there is a idea way beyond us, the Pacific Ocean, so to speak, that's way beyond our seichel. That's Eino Melvado. The best way I can explain it is that Hashem thinks of us and wills us to exist, and we exist. Ein od means there's nothing outside the Creator. The seed that you put into the ground creates the tree that comes from it. Inside that little tiny seed contains all of the DNA necessary to make that tree and all future apples that we'll ever make. It's all inside that seed. Everything comes from that. So too, in this world, everything, so to speak, comes from Hashem at the same idea. The difference is that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, without Hashem, we cease to exist. The relationship between us and Hashem is one thing. Without Hashem, we wouldn't exist. The best mashal I can give you to paint is, for example, a daydream. If you've ever daydreamed, so in your daydream, you can imagine anything. You can imagine people, trips, conversations, you know, whole events. They all exist. Where do they exist?
In your head.
Are they real? In one sense, yes. You're a real person. And in your mind, you are creating worlds upon worlds. What happens when you wake up from your daydream?
You come back to life.
And all of those things you created, they disappear. We are Hashem's, so to speak. We are the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wills us to exist. And if Hashem for a moment would cease willing us to exist, what would happen?
Everything would be gone.
Everything would be gone. We are all manifestations of the Ratzon Hashem. Again, this is an idea that requires a lot more explanation. And if you dwell on it too much, it can make you go a little bit nuts. But that's emunah. It's a concept that's way, way beyond us. There's seichel, how we perceive Hashem in the world. And there's emunah to understand that there's things beyond our comprehension. Let's turn now back into the Tzemach Tzedek. V'zehu mitzvahs achilas matzah, shenetztaveinu b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. This is the eating of matzah that we were commanded to eat in Mitzrayim. Ki Mitzrayim heim b'chusrei emunah. Mitzrayim is a place totally lacking in emunah, hanal. V'hotzi b'nei Yisrael mizeh, Hashem brought us out of this place. Le'avim le'amunah amisis, to bring us real emunah. Haya al yedei ha-matzah, which is through a matzah. She'a nikra michla demenusa, which is called the bread of faith. Sheba va'al yadei yagiyu v'tikba bilvosam emunazu. Through the eating of matzah, it was established that we would have emunah. V'inyan yuvan al pi mamaru chazal. He says the whole thing is related to by the Gemara in Brachos that says, Ein hatinok yodea likros abav ima ad shiitom tam dagan. The Gemara says that a child does not know how to call his mommy and daddy until he tastes the taste of grain. A child does not have the seichel, the intellect, to understand and to use the words and say mommy and daddy until he starts to eat grains. Only once a child starts to have grains is he given the ability to have das, to have such understanding. Why is the Gemara talking about this? The Gemara says, and we know that you can't daven in front of tsoa, in front of excrement. If a child goes to the bathroom, you can't daven in front of the tsoa, of the excrement of the child. However, a child who is nursing doesn't create tsoa, doesn't create excrement, that it's usher to daven in front of. It doesn't have the same unpleasant smell once a child starts eating grain. Only once a child starts eating grains, chameshus mine dagan, does the tsoa start to have a bad smell. The Gemara explains that the more person has knowledge, then there's more side effects, so to speak. The once a person starts to have das and is at the level of eating grains and now is a higher understanding, so there's going to be, on the other side, now tsoa, there's going to be excrement that's going to be, you know, that's going to have a more unpleasant smell. The higher the person's intellect goes, there's a greater potential now to create things that are less pleasant. So this, the Gemara then goes on to say, this is why there's an opinion in the Gemara that what was the Eitz Hadas? Stalks of wheat. Why does that opinion say stalks of wheat? Because it's called the Eitz Hadas Tovara. And in order to have das, you need to have grain. The eating of grain is what begins a person's process of having das. So therefore it makes sense that the Eitz Hadas were stalks of wheat. That's what the Gemara says. The product of eating the grain is the tzoach that has that unpleasant smell. And with the beginning of eating of grain, at that stage in a child's life, the child's able to recognize his parents, and this is the stage that he's at. This is what the Gemara is saying. So now let's put this back into context. V'hine, inyan kriyaso abav ima. When the child calls mommy, daddy, acher ti'imaso tam dagan, now he's eaten the taste of grain. Eino yediya v'hasag amisis mahu av. Does he really understand when he says mommy or daddy, the depth of what it means to be a father? Do you really chap what that means? That the father is shuhu hayoso molido, that he caused him to be born, uchayotze behyoso chelek b'moach ha'av, mamish ushetive rachme av, and the mercy of the father, and the mesiras nefesh the father has for the child, and the being mefarnish the child, and working to make a living to support the child, ulchalkolo, and to give him food, ulhaspik chasrochav, and to bathe, and to diaper, and to go to, you know, events that the father doesn't want to sit through, and sit through basketball games, and, you know, plays, and sitter, and on and on and on and on. And the amount of sweat, blood, and tears that a parent turns into a child. And the child says, mommy, daddy. Do you understand what mommy, daddy really means in the core essence? The Pacific Ocean of mommy, daddy? No. The kid's holding up a cup of water from the Pacific Ocean. Mommy, daddy is the person who, like, makes sure I have candy for Shabbos. Like, that's all he understands. Ki hatinok eino makir b'chol zarak koro abba v'yovad. The child doesn't understand that. He says, the person who puts me in the car seat and takes care of me is daddy or mommy, and that's what the child understands. The concept of father is an intellectual concept. But for a child, it's not a deep understanding. It's simply mommy, daddy. And it's the most basic level that the child knows that the father provides. Okay, right? That's the level of seichel. I understand this is the person I call father. But to cover in the depths of fatherhood or motherhood, it doesn't chap what's going on there. V'amisis ha'inyan, the truth of the matter is, hu l'mala midato v'sagoso. A two-year-old can understand that. A two-year-old's going to understand that his father and mother are working late and they're up night at him when he's, you know, throwing up, and they're getting him medicine and they're running around. He doesn't understand all the mysterious nefesh. He can't. He's 2 years old. Mi'im kol zeh, ein lomar shelo higia shum hakar b'daito. But are we going to say he's foolish? He doesn't understand anything? No. He understands something. Shaharei makiro b'hakara gemura v'lo yifne achar zulaso. Because he knows this is my father. I'll only go to this mommy, this daddy. If somebody else comes and says, I'm mommy, he says, you're not mommy. I know what mommy looks like. I know exactly what the person looks like. He says, Hainu shenimshach yediyazu amitis milmala midaita vasagaso shaltinok v'niblusha b'mtzimtzum da'ato vasagaso ad shiyasik kavanas ha'inyan k'mo shehu mamish l'mala midaito. In his words, mommy, daddy, he is saying something very profound that he doesn't truly understand. When we say that the child doesn't understand the concept of mother and father, it doesn't mean that when he gets older, now I understand a totally new concept. What I thought I understand when I was younger, as mommy and daddy, now I see there's actually a new thing called mommy, daddy that I didn't understand before. No, says the Tzemach Tzedek. Rather, the child gets older, he'll begin to comprehend that what he understood as a baby is really something much deeper. That word mommy, daddy contains within it something much more profound. And everything that he understood as a baby is still true, but inside the words mommy and daddy was hidden something more profound that was not yet revealed. It was beyond him. The idea of a child, of their parent, is there. It's there. The deep idea is present in what they're saying. It just needs to be developed more. Let's look inside. Shaharei, Bekriya Zu, Shikori Abba. When he says daddy, Yesh behalem kol inyan amisid. There's something hidden, the true nature. Eichshu aviv raksha shufal b'daito kibikol chaseis. He just can't comprehend it on the low level of his brain. V'hareze k'mo halomed halacha im hatinok shema'alim amkus sheyesh b'v'omer lo kitzur upsak halacha. It's like teaching halacha to a first grader, right? When you were in first grade, you were in second grade, so you learned Hilchos Pesach, okay? And what did you learn? You learned that you eat matzah, and then you lean, and you have maror. You learned the basics. Now, did you learn that there was a whole Gemara, and a whole machlokas in the Gemara, and there was opinion in Rashi, and there was opinion in Tosfos, And there was a debate, and there's different types of matzah, and what if a person is gluten-free, and what if a person is sick, and how much matzah do you have to eat? Did you learn all that in first grade?
No.
No. You learned what? Eat matzah on Pesach. Right? That was the very simple thing that you learned. He says, when you learned eat matzah in first grade, you had in that very simple statement the introduction of something much deeper. When you get much older, you'll learn that in that first grade lesson of eat matzah on Pesach was really all of these deeper, more profound ideas. A simple idea, says the Tzemach Tzedek, contains within it the potential of a much more profound idea that perhaps has not been yet revealed to you. Okay? Everyone here knows a little bit that you can learn a chazal, you can learn a medrash, you can learn a rashi, and on its surface level, it's very simple. It's very nice, right? It's easy to understand. But you also know that with a little bit more probing and a little bit more understanding, you can learn that same Rashi and find out what? That there's something deeper. Rashi's saying something more profound. He's really saying something about the essence of what it means to be a human being. So does that mean, is that a different Rashi than the first Rashi? No, it's the same Rashi. But you had it on one level of Seichel, the simple level, and then within that simple idea was something that was actually more profound that just has not yet been revealed to you and who you are, right? The words of mommy and daddy are simple, but they contain real depth, real emotion, real relationships that haven't yet been revealed. Then he says as follows, V'chein hu kriyas Abba v'ima shatino kore al day tam dagan, and this comes through the eating of dagan, of grain. Ubelo hadagan lo hay yodea mizel gamre. If the child wouldn't start eating grain, then his brain would not be developed enough to know any of this. V'aydei hadagan nimshach lo yedia, through eating of grain, he is acquired the knowledge zu she be'emes migadlus hadas, which is really a great, profound idea. But right now, his brain is in the process of developing more. So he doesn't understand the depth of what he's saying. V'akoach hazeh bedagon, the power of the grain, hu lefi shorsho mehachachma. That eating grain implants the roots of wisdom. U'kayadua me'arizal, as we know from the Arizal, al inyan habracha hamotzi lechem. We'll explain this in a moment. The idea of the bracha of motzi lechem in aretz, elishin nishbal begashmius, ulozos ish b'hakoach lahavi hamshachas hachachma b'chinas mochin dekatnas shaltinak. The low level of thinking of the child contains within it really something more profound that simply what has not yet been revealed. Why is this all associated with bread? Because why is the bracha on bread different than any other thing? It is special. But what's the difference between the bracha on bread versus a fruit versus a vegetable? It truly gets a special bracha. Look at the words. Look at the words. On an apple we say, borei pri ha'etz. It is a product of the tree, right? On the vegetable we say, borei pri ha'dama. It's a product of the ground. On bread we say, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Who takes bread from the land.
It's not bread.
It's not bread. What is it? It's wheat. But what is it all about? Mm-hmm. Within wheat is something that is more elevated and hidden. Within wheat, on its simple form, it's wheat. But really, what is wheat? It has something much more deep and more profound within it, which is the potential of bread. The whole bracha on bread speaks to that point. Hamotzi lechem min aretz. I've seen grain fields before. It's not bread, it's wheat. No, but within those stalks of wheat is the potential for a higher level of bread. Wheat represents a simple idea that contains within it something much more profound. Your seichel, your brain, has a simple level of understanding Hashem, but within all of your minds, every single person sitting around this table, within all of your minds contains the potential to have deeper understanding, something more profound, a higher level of relationship with Hashem. Let's read the last piece here. V'hine al derech zehu inyan ha-matzah. Mehe mine dug, and this is the matzah that comes from the five grains. Dafka shi mitzvah Hashem. It is the matzah that brought knowledge of God into the neshamas of the Jewish people. Originally we left Egypt, we knew that there's a Father in heaven. But within the simple amuna that Bnei Yisrael were given in Mitzrayim by eating matzah when they left, they were also given the potential to understand that Hashem is much greater than that. Something way beyond what we perceive with our eyes. Hashem is more than just the DNA and seeing the Yad Hashem in creation and, you know, seeing beautiful things in nature and all the mathematical logic to prove God. That's seichel, that's one level. But as much as a person comes to see Hashem in their daily lives and to see the Yad Hashem in the world around them, in the beauty and the perfection of nature, you also need to always understand what? That there's something beyond your understanding. There's something way, way above. That as you develop your brain and as you come to, so to speak, eat more grain, you, as you become to develop your das, you'll open up new avenues and new paths to have a deeper understanding of Hashem. And we'll just like the Dagan allows the child to have a greater das of his father, so too the matzah is a grain that allows us to relate to our Father in heaven. The bread is the food of emunah because it gives us the das, the understanding, to relate on the simple level of Hashem and to higher levels of emunah. V'hine, the last line. Be'emes kol Yisrael ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We are all the children of believers. She'be'emunas uman emunas kavua v'yaseid bal timut. We will not stray from our faith, chas v'shalom. Ad she'yuchal limser nafsha al kedushas Hashem. Jews throughout generations have given up their lives. They literally died at the stake and died by the Inquisition or the Holocaust in order to preserve their faith in God. But even so, a simple Jew who gave his life during the Crusades and the Inquisition and the Khmelnytsky massacres and things like that, did he understand the lofty idea that Hashem is Eino Melvado and it's like the drop of the Pacific Ocean? Did he understand that? No. So how did he, where did he have that? Within his simple, Pashut understanding lies something more profound that he doesn't even realize is there. Ein masiga inyan mahu mahusi yisparach ubitol haolam b'metzias, or the fact that the whole world is really God and einol milvado kaziv hashemesh b'shemesh ein aziv nira klal. The idea that our world is something, has something way beyond us, is difficult to comprehend. It's hard to walk around thinking that there is an understanding of Hashem that is way beyond my understanding. It's hard to understand when I show someone a cup of water that really there's the Pacific Ocean behind all that water. And there's something so vast and so deep you can never possibly calculate on your own. Emuna is the initial grasp of something where there's a sense of emes, but it has not yet been developed. And that is what it means that matzah is the bread of faith. Yeah. Emuna is the beginning of an understanding that there's an MS, that there's a truth of something that's way beyond us. That there's something that we can't comprehend, but it's hidden within our simple understanding of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, to say it in one word, when we sit by the Pesach Seder and we have the matzah in front of us and we're eating that matzah, let me tell you what you should not think about, okay? What you should not think about is, wow, this matzah is really thin. Last year was much more thick. I wonder how much the matzah cost. Am I allowed to talk? What's my brother eating? How does he finish so fast? How much more matzah is my father going to give me? Those thoughts are simply a waste of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of matzah, v'chilas matzah, the mitzvah of d'oraisa, comes once a year for us in Galus, okay, maybe twice a year. The mitzvah of eating matzah ha-seder is a special opportunity. But sometimes we get distracted by really unimportant things. You have a moment by the Pesach Seder in a little bit less than 3 weeks to sit there and to comprehend when you're eating that matzah quietly by yourself, what does it represent? Does it represent that I'm in Eved Hashem and I commit myself to subjugate my will to the Ratzon Hashem, like Rav Schwab said? Or do we want to talk about and contemplate while we're eating the matzah? Write this in your Haggadah if you have to. Write it on the side of what you're going to think about when you're eating the matzah. And to think about when I'm eating the matzah that I want to develop my amunah, that the matzah speaks to something way, way beyond I can comprehend about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that it speaks to a potential in me that I have not yet developed or realized, but I know that is hidden there. That's something we can all do by the Pesach Seder. For those 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes that you're crunching down to that matzah, to have in front of you something to think about, something to meditate on about what the matzah represents, what the importance of matzah is, and what it's supposed to do to our neshamas. Okay. Yeah.